Hi, I'm Matt Bush, the news director at Blue Ridge Public Radio. The following is a candidate forum we held in our studios on February 7th with two candidates running for the Republican nomination for North Carolina's 11th congressional district, which encompasses all of western North Carolina. Incumbent Republican Mark Meadows announced in December he would retire instead of seeking a fifth term in office. That set off a mad scramble of Republican candidates filing to run in a roughly 36-hour period before the deadline to do so. All told, 11 candidates are running in the GOP primary. Each were invited to participate in two forums BPR held. We have two candidates in this second forum, Linda Bennett and Joey Osborne. Before we get to that, a reminder that early voting for the primary election in North Carolina runs until February 29th. Those who have not registered to vote yet will only be able to do so during the early voting period. You can find a full list of early voting locations and the hours they are open at our website, bpr.org. The deadline to request an absentee by mail ballot is February 25th, and primary day is Tuesday, March 3rd. And remember, you do not need photo ID to vote in the primary election. Now, on with the show. So let's begin, and we will start opening statements with Joey Osborne.
Super, thank you. I'm Joey Osborne, a lifelong Western North Carolina resident. Come November, I'll have been here 60 years in the mountains of Western North Carolina. So I'm very happily married. Tanya and I have two daughters, 12 and 16. Both are conservatives, I might add. So I think we've kind of nailed the formula for producing those conservative kids. But like President Trump, I'm a D.C. outsider. I've never run for office. I've never held office. I think the people have spoken and they're tired of politicians and government as usual. So I look forward to being in D.C. as an outsider. I've been balancing big budgets. I've been growing companies, meeting payroll, creating jobs for more than 40 years. I'm a serial entrepreneur, so that's really all I've ever done. My company currently employs just over 500 people and will employ another 100 new additional hires this year. So I'm excited about that part. Being a lifelong entrepreneur, I've had upsides and downsides, but fortunately, the company I have now has grown to a $50 million a year company, and we've fortunately done it with zero debt. So I'm not a big fan of debt. One of the things I'll certainly work on in D.C. is reducing the federal deficit, which is extremely out of control. So not only that, but certainly taxes are an issue for me. I'll never vote for a tax increase. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I love America. I feel that there's never been a better time in history to be alive in America. America's never been richer, never been stronger than it is now. And I say all that to say that it's a shame that we haven't taken advantage of those resources and those riches and those strengths to deal with some of the major problems that we have in the country. So it's important to me that we address those. I look forward to getting to D.C. to work specifically on those things.
Linda Bennett.
Thank you, Matt. My name is Linda Bennett, and I'm running for Congress because we're engaged in an epic battle for the heart and soul of our nation. And we know that battle is the Lord's and that He is the source of our strength, but we also have a part to play. And we can't just sit back and let our leaders do it all. And that's why I'm running for Congress. There's a poster on the door of our headquarters, and it's got a picture of President Trump, and it says, "They're not coming after him, they're coming after you. He's just getting in the way." And we know he can't be there forever. In fact, during this impeachment process, one thing we have learned for sure is that if they could get rid of him yesterday, they would have done that. But President Trump and I both learned something from the real estate industry, and that is to negotiate from a position of strength. And that's why I'm going to join the House Freedom Caucus on day one. It's the most powerful and influential caucus on the Hill. I've said from the very beginning that I was going to join the Freedom Caucus, and I'm very pleased to announce that Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, two of the most respected congressmen, want me to join them in the Freedom Caucus, to join their ranks. And that won't be easy because in Washington, D.C., there are forces such as lobbyists and special interests that want the congressmen to actually work for them, not for the folks back home. And I know that President Trump is counting on Western North Carolina to send him another fighter, a fighter like me, that's going to fill Mark Meadows' seat and help him drain that swamp. I'm conservative on all the issues. I'm pro-life. I believe that life begins at conception. I'm an evangelical Christian, and I see that life is one of our greatest, most precious gifts from God, and it's got to be protected. I stand unflinchingly with Israel also. The Second Amendment is under attack, and our Constitution, as well as our Second Amendment, needs to be protected with no compromises. We've already given far too much away.
Let's wrap up.
So, I am a conservative on all the issues, and I look forward to being the first Congresswoman from Western North Carolina. Thank you.
All right, we'll start with the first question. That will go to Linda Bennett, and that is, what do you feel is the biggest issue facing the 11th Congressional District right now?
I think the biggest issue facing us is basically a liberal viewpoint, where the people believe that the government can solve all their problems, and that I believe that we have our rights come from God, and that we need to, and our Constitution protects those rights. What that means is we're more responsible for our own well-being, and versus an attitude that the government can fix anything. And I believe in many instances the government has actually caused some of the problems that we're now having to remedy.
Joey Osborne.
Yes, in terms of what's affecting or most impacting the 11th, I think is very similar to what's impacting the whole country. And we're, and this is what I refer to often as hyperpartisan divide. You know, there's these factions, and I feel like caucuses are another form of faction that, that unfortunately has shut down the progress in government. We're just not getting things done, and those things directly impact the 11th district. So that's on the federal level. I think we have those issues that we have to get back to a point where we can all sit down at a table, discuss issues, find commonality. Doesn't mean that we deviate from our core principles, which I certainly would never do that as a conservative. But there are problems that we could easily solve if we just bring people back to the table. Again, I don't believe that involves factions, and certainly caucuses don't contribute to that. So because of that, I stand on my own. I don't have any endorsements. I don't want particularly any endorsements, and I certainly would only align with a caucus in the under the circumstance that it would benefit the people of the 11th district.
Just a reminder, as we started here, this portion of it, the candidates do get 90 seconds to respond to each question. Just wanted to make sure I said that again. So the second question, we'll start with Joey Osborne, and that is, the U.S. has seen an extended economic boom over the last decade, but the federal deficit has also been growing at the same time. Why do you think that is, and what will you do about it as a member of Congress?
Yeah, great question. Obviously, the deficit is out of control, and it's out of control again because we've had so much, you know, a lack of business expertise, I believe, in D.C., and that's something that I think I bring to the table with my 40 years plus business experience. But it's time to deal with the deficit. I have a very specific plan. It's a 10-year plan. It's adopted by the part of the conservative party, in that we will address the deficit and the federal debt in inside of 10 years and come to a balanced budget in 10 years. So that's specifically what I would focus on. Let's get the budget balanced as soon as possible and then start to continue to stimulate the economy with some of the things that we've been doing in the past that have worked.
Okay. Linda Bennett.
I think it's been proven, and it may seem counterintuitive, that a booming economy does help to raise more income through revenues through taxation. And even lower taxation increases the revenue that's generated because of the booming economy. So I think President Trump has a plan, and I think that once he's reelected, we're going to see a change in direction in the policies that we see coming out of Washington, D.C. I've been endorsed by the Senate Conservatives Fund as well as the House Freedom Fund, and those two groups are very focused on reducing debt and balanced budgets. So we will be working together, their strength in numbers, to accomplish a more fiscally sound policy.
Next question that will go to Linda Bennett first is, do you support any changes around gun laws in the United States? And if so, what would they be?
Gun laws? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'd like to see, so Heller versus Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. set a standard that we need to be implementing around the country, and that is to take back our rights as individuals and citizens. And so I'm actually for increased gun freedom, and I believe that there's statistics out there that aren't being reported by the media, for instance. Every year, there's millions of people that defend themselves with a firearm. Most of the time, not a single shot is fired. But all that gets reported are the 40,000 gun deaths. And can you imagine how many more deaths there would be if we had 3 million defenseless people that out there that would add to those numbers by not being able to defend themselves? So I believe that the media needs to report those types of success stories, because we really do need to have broader gun rights.
Joey Osborne.
Yeah, I can give you 10 seconds on this one. The Second Amendment to me is crystal clear. The Constitution is what we have. Our nation of laws constitutionally based, and the Constitution couldn't be clearer, in my opinion, on the Second Amendment. This, I would certainly make no modifications to further restrict guns. I'm very much pro-Second Amendment.
Okay. Next question will go to Joey Osborne, and that is, Western North Carolina in particular has been hit hard by the opioid crisis. What, as a legislator on the federal level, can you do about this and about health care access in general?
Yes, yeah, a super question. The opioid issue is huge. Obviously, health care is a disaster. It's one of the top things on my list. First of all, I'm not a big government interventionist. I'm certainly for small government, but when we have something like this opioid issue that we're dealing with, federal government has to be involved. And I think that starts, it can coexist as we start to reform the entire insurance process and the medical situation. So I'm a strong proponent of a privatization in that whole space. And I think it's time to look at another drug czar that we had back in the 70s. So that would be my approach to that. Let's appoint somebody who can specifically head up the opioid issue.
Okay. Linda Bennett.
So healthcare, America has one of the most expensive healthcare systems in the world. And yet, if you ask people, what do they think about their healthcare? Could it be improved? Is there any room for improvement? Most people would say there is room for improvement. So the difference, the thing that I would like to see changed is a very structural, very integral change. And that is that our healthcare system today is based on what's best for the big drug companies, what's best for the conglomerates. And what I believe we need to be doing is focusing on what's best for the patient, what's best for people and individuals, the consumer. And if we change our way of looking at that approach, it will change the way our healthcare would be implemented throughout the nation. And I think it would also address the opioid crisis. The opioid crisis is also partially part of the border issue. So I would have to address the border issue as part of that solution as well.
Okay.
But there's no silver bullet when it comes to healthcare.
Okay, well, that leads into our next question that goes to Linda Bennett first, isn't it? And that is, what changes, if any, do you wish to see and want to see and would support in federal immigration policy?
All right. Our immigration policy, Trump's right. We need to have an America First immigration policy. I feel like the Democrats a lot of times look at it from a point where there's immigrant first and America second immigration policy. So that would include such things as anchor babies, that's what it's called, and chain migration, which don't benefit America. They're not based on merit. They're just based on an instance where people get to make the decision, which doesn't come through channels that would allow us to make what's a decision that's best for our country. So I would definitely implement changes along those lines. There's also a situation where it feels like that no matter what, the Democrats do not favor building a wall. It doesn't matter why. I say build the wall and then secure our border. We can't have a sovereign nation without a secure border. So therefore start there, and then we can implement other changes afterwards.
Joey Osborne.
Yeah, so again, pretty short answer. I think we build the wall. I strongly stand behind President Trump to build the wall. And I like the idea of a big gate in the wall. So let's secure the border. Let's know who's coming in and who's going out. But let's open it up, because we need immigrants. We need, especially from South America, Mexico workforce that is very much welcomed here. So that would be my suggestion. Let's build a wall. Let's have a big gate, and then let's take advantage. Let's help these folks who seek asylum here and need to be here and want to be here, and let's integrate them into our workforce primarily.
Okay. We'll go to our next question, and that goes to Joey Osborne Force. The 11th Congressional District is home to the National Centers for Environmental Information in Asheville. That is the federal government's climate science office. It reported last year that 2019 was the hottest year on record in North Carolina. What measures do you support or would you support at the federal level to combat the effects of climate change?
Yeah, super question. It's a big issue, obviously. It's out there. I'm certainly concerned about the climate. I've been an environmentalist all my life. But I also think we have to be pragmatic about it. We have to look at the urgency level of it, and I think that part we may be overplaying a little. So we hear, 12 years, the planet's going to cease to exist. I don't think too many people, rational people, believe that. So I do think we look at it, but we, again, with this wealth that we have and this all the technologies that are available to us today, I say let's take a hard look at those and how do we implement those on a thoughtful and consistent basis. In such a way that we address climate issues, but at the same time, we don't crash the economy or we don't put others in hardship. So that would be my view on climate.
Linda Bennett.
Of course, climate is changing. It's been changing over the course of history forever and ever. In fact, I'm a big advocate of climate change because I would not want to live in Western North Carolina if there was a mile of snow or ice over us at this time. So it creates a changing environment, but I think the main issue is not whether the climate is changing, it's whether it's man-made change. And one of the effects of claiming that it's a man-made effect is that the government would like to take control over many aspects of our life. And as a Republican, I'm opposed to government control over that many aspects of our life. So in essence, they're establishing, the left is establishing that it's climate change is man-made so that they can pass laws that would affect every single aspect of our lives. I'm opposed to that. I'm opposed to that whole principle because I believe in that climate change is going on. I'm just not sure that it's a man-made effect.
Okay. We'll go to our last question now, and that will go to Linda Bennett. And you both have 90 seconds again for the last question. Then once we go to closing statements, each candidate will have 1 minute to give their closing statement. And the last question here is, we'll start with Linda Bennett, is what do you feel is the biggest infrastructure need in the 11th Congressional District?
Well, infrastructure takes on so many different aspects. So most people would love to see less road construction, less congestion on our highways. And many of the roads that are most congested are federal highways. So they would be impacted. And I know Mark Meadows served on the transportation committee. And that is one of the things that we definitely should be doing from the federal government's aspect. Some of the other infrastructure issues are not federal and should be handled by the state. So you've got to look at who's in charge of what issue. So I'd say that is our main concern as just an average citizen in Western North Carolina.
Joey Osborne.
Well, the variety of things that we're faced with in the 11th District, there's that varies. That infrastructure thing varies across the way. The concerns we have here in Asheville are completely different than what we see over in Brevard. One of the things that interests me, I think, that we need to stay on top of from an infrastructure perspective is the digital world of things now, which is everything now is cellular. And I know 5G is a big issue, and that's going to be coming. But we have things, more basic needs like cable is an issue, fiber optics. And I know you guys deal with things like that here in your radio business. So having a broad view of that, so of course roads are a big deal. We have some things we need to look further down the road because I see the infrastructure issue being closely connected with bringing in really good paying jobs and those things. So one of the things I'll focus on a lot is how do we bring especially to the more rural areas of Western North Carolina's infrastructure that will also allow us to have better and better paying jobs.
Well, thank you very much. We are done with our questions. We will now go to closing statements. And again, just a reminder to listeners, we had three other Republican candidates in for a forum earlier this morning on Friday. You can watch that video once this one concludes. And we will reach out to the candidates who were not unable to attend today. And that will also be posted on our website, interviews with them on our website, bpr.org. So now we're down to closing statements. Each candidate will get 1 minute to make a closing statement. And we will start with Joey Osborne.
Good. Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm Joey Osborne. Folks can reach me at joeyosborne.com, too. I'd like to share that. Just my name, joeyosborne.com. So as your congressman, as a fellow businessman, I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with President Trump to finally drain the swamp and bring Washington back and government back to the American people. I feel like we've lost control. We, the people, no longer have control of government like the founders intended for us to have. So again, as your congressman, you have my solemn promise that I'll never put political gain over the people. I'm happy to alter my life and my career to serve in D.C. I certainly would never be beholden to any political party, never beholden to any faction or group that I would ever put over doing the best job that I could possibly do for the people of Western North Carolina. So with that said, I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope I can earn the votes of those folks that are out watching today.
Thank you. Linda Bennett.
Thank you, Matt. My name is Linda Bennett, and lindaforcongress.com. And I moved to Western North Carolina in 1983, but I've been in the real estate business for over 33 years. And during that time, I've seen some different trends. And in 2008, I saw some things I thought I would never see, which was socialists in charge of our government. Nancy Pelosi, Barney Frank, and President Obama plunged our economy into a deep recession. And that's when I became active. I realized at that point that elections have consequences. And I was going to get involved, I was going to make a difference, and that's how I've gotten here today to be running for Congress. So basically, I wanted to address something. In 2016, I supported our president in his candidacy, and there's been some attack ads that came out, and I just wanted to say that the audio, if you hear it, I would like for you to know the truth, and that tape is a clipped version. It's taken completely out of context. I was mimicking some never-Trumpers, which you probably know what that means, and that has been used to sound like I was not supporting our president, and it couldn't be farther from the truth. So I want you to know that we're going to be here fighting for our president. I'm going to try to make a difference in every way that I can. And I know that you don't expect us to win all the battles, but I know that you expect us to at least fight them. And sometimes the Republican Party gives in before they even try hard. And as our country is in the balance and maybe slipping towards socialism at this time, I know that the people of Western North Carolina want us to take a stand, and they would say, not on our watch. That is not going to happen. And I want you to know that by the grace of God, I will not back down. And I would like you to get your support as the first Congresswoman from Western North Carolina. My name is Linda Bennett, and I'm running for Congress.
You've been listening to a candidate forum with two Republicans seeking their party's nomination in North Carolina's 11th Congressional District, which encompasses all of Western North Carolina. Early voting concludes on February 29th for the primary, and those who have not yet registered to vote can only vote during the early voting period. For a full list of early voting sites and the hours they are open in Western North Carolina, use our early voting guide at bpr.org. The deadline to request an absentee by mail ballot is February 25th, and primary day itself is Tuesday, March 3rd. And remember, you do not need photo ID to vote in the primary election. I'm Matt Bush, and I thank you for listening.